Welcome to the 3-Point Stance Podcast with your host, Dave Wipke.
And welcome back to the 3-Point Stance Podcast. For this episode, we'll be reviewing Week 6 and previewing Week 7 of Whipple action throughout the Washington and Greene County areas. Let's cut right to the chase.
First up, Tri-County South, Beth Center, they were at Bentworth.
And lost in the stories of having undefeated squads in Wash High, Peters Township, and Fort Cherry is the season that Beth Center's Ethan Varesco is having. Varesco had a night of nights last Friday in the Bulldogs' 52-37 win over rival Bentworth. He put up 433 yards rushing on 22 carries. That's right, 433 yards rushing on 22 carries. He also had four touchdowns to cap off his evening. The most important score of his came on a 49-yard touchdown run late in the fourth quarter after Bentworth cut their deficit to 44-37 on a Vitaly Daniels to Ben Hayes touchdown connection. Daniels finished with 202 yards passing with two scores to Hayes for Bentworth, who fall to 1-3 in the conference, 2-5 overall. Tegan Veach added two scores for the Bulldogs. Josh Howes put the Bulldogs on the board first when he recovered a fumble in the end zone early in the first quarter. As Beth Center, what can we say about them? They've been coming on and having a decent year. Of course, when you have a player like Ethan Varesco playing for you, you can't help but have a decent year. 20 yards per carry, 433 yards. What a night he had.
More Tri-County South, West Greene was at California.
This is the Tri-County South game of the week, if you will. West Greene was coming in with their red-hot tailback, Colin Brady. He was shut out by Cal as the Trojans held him to 12 yards on five carries. As California got the job done, 44-12. Quarterback for Cal, Jake Lehu, scored three times, while Spencer Petrucci, you've heard this name mentioned before here on the podcast, ran for two scores and gained 131 yards on the ground himself. The Trojans took a lead of 22-6.5 and never took the foot off the gas. Colin Brady came into the game with more than 5,000 yards rushing on his career, but he didn't add much. As he has, I mentioned before, he was held to 12 yards on only five carries. California looking pretty strong in the Tri-County South.
Over to the Black Hills, Our Lady of the Sacred Heart was at Burgettstown.
It was homecoming this past Saturday afternoon at Hill Memorial Stadium in Burgettstown, and the Blue Devils sent the homecoming crowd happy as they won 19-13 after Zach Schrockman's touchdown in the fourth quarter ended up being the winning points for the Blue Devils. He scored on a two-yard run to break a 13-13 tie as the Blue Devils even their record to 2-2 in the conference, 3-3 overall. Brody Cougar opened the scoring for Burgettstown on a five-yard touchdown run in the second quarter, and Colton County added the extra point for a 7-0 lead. For the game, Cougar gained 88 yards on 20 carries. Brandon Brazell cut the deficit to 7-6 for the Chargers on a touchdown run, but the extra point was no good. Schrockman's 73-yard punt return for a touchdown gave the home team a 13-6 advantage at a half. Brazell for Our Lady of Sacred Heart threw a touchdown pass in the third quarter. He finished with 19 completions for 27 attempts for 262 yards. Give it up for Burgettstown as they are starting to find themselves in Black Hills Conference play.
And staying in the Black Hills, Fort Cherry, they were at Avella.
Not quite the test for Fort Cherry this week after their scintillating victory over Bishop Canavan 2 weeks ago. They didn't have to do much. They didn't really break much of a sweat in their 42-8 win over Black Hills on Friday night. The Rangers, who are undefeated at 4-0 in conference, 7-0 overall, took a 28-0 lead in the first quarter and never looked back. Evan Rogers pulled in a 34-yard touchdown pass from Do Everything Matt Sieg for the game's first score. Ethan Folletto scoring on two touchdown runs in the quarter of 11 and 7 yards. And Nate Heinrich, 3-yard touchdown run of the quarter, closed out the scoring and basically it turned out the lights in this game. Matt Sieg was 5 of 8 for 134 yards passing. Ethan Folletto gained 52 yards on 7 carries. And Shane Cornally, one of the heroes of the Bishop Canavan win, or should say win over Bishop Canavan, had a fumble recovery. Zach Saravin also recorded an interception for the Rangers. Avella got on the board when Chaz Rush scored on a 17-yard touchdown run. Isaiah Braddock added the two-point conversion, and they averted the shutout. The Eagles fall to 1-3 in conference play and 3-4 overall.
Now let's talk Century Conference. Stowe rocks. They were at Wash High.
Wash High starting to flex their muscles as they remain undefeated at 3-0 in conference and 7-0 overall. The Prexies received touchdowns from six different players, and they rolled to a 43-8 win over typically tough Stowe Rocks in Century Conference play at Wash High Stadium. The Prexies led 21-0 after one quarter and 36-0 at the half, enacting the mercy rule in the second half. Eddie Lewis had a 13-yard touchdown run that opened the scoring. The next two scores for the Prexies came from the defense and special teams. One was a 37-yard fumble return by Javon Woods, and another was a 57-yard punt return by Xavier Willis. Reuben Gordon added a 7-yard touchdown run, and Elijah Thomas caught a 12-yard touchdown pass from Tristan Reed as the Prexies cruised on in. Stowe Rocks scored its only points in the fourth quarter when Eric McGuire raced 16 yards to the end zone. But for the game, the Wash High defense was dominant as they held Stowe Rocks to only 39 yards total offense and 2 first downs.
Allegheny 6, Moon. They were at Peters Township.
Peters Township continues to show their strength and might as they were given a fight for about three quarters against Moon, but they finally pulled away to a 40-7 win in Allegheny 6 conference play at the Confluence Financial Partners Stadium. Carter Shanafelt had 3 touchdown receptions in the second half and a pick 6 return to help put that game away. But give it up for the Moon Tigers. They took a 7-0 lead in the second quarter when Josh Bledel scored from 3 yards out. That score was set up by a 46-yard fumble return by Nick Clemens, who also blocked a punt earlier in the contest. And this was the first time that Peters Township had trailed since week 2 versus Trinity. But Peters Township simply just shrugged and said, bring it on, and they did. Nolan DeLucia got the Indians on the board in the second quarter with a 91-yard touchdown run. Then that's when Shanafelt went to work with a 4-yard touchdown catch and a winning moments of the half to give the hosts a 13-7 lead. Vinny Sarcone's 12-yard touchdown run helped push the lead to 19-7, and that's when Shanafelt went nuts in the fourth quarter with touchdown catches of 66 and 74 yards, along with his 39-yard pick six. Peters Township sitting on top of not only the conference, but all of Class 5A with a 6-0 mark overall and 2-0 record in conference.
And in non-conference action, Baldwin, they were at Cannon Mac.
This is homecoming for Cannon Mac at Big Mac Stadium, and I think they were caught napping this week. They had a tough game 2 weeks ago against Central Catholic. Baldwin came in, took an early lead against them, but Zach Welsh was there to rescue the sluggish Big Mac squad as he finished with 280 yards rushing on 30 carries to help Cannon Mac pull away from Baldwin 30-14. Coach Mike Evans said he was happy that they won, but not really happy with the effort. To quote him, "We were too worried about what we wanted to wear," Coach Evans said. "All of our guys were just putting all kind of accessories on. We don't do that here. I know some of the guys on Baldwin's staff. I think they almost took advantage of the fact that we weren't focused and we didn't take them seriously." Andrew Sharp was part of a Baldwin team that punched Cannon Mac in the face. He has scored 2 touchdowns in the second quarter to help give the Highlanders a 14-3 lead. But Zach Welsh, the aforementioned Zach Welsh, had a 65-yard touchdown run on the next possession for Cannon Mac, and that helped get them off and running as they eventually pulled away to victory.
Back over to Century Conference, Charleroi, they were at McGuffey.
Don't look now, but Coach Ed Dalton's McGuffey Highlanders are starting to come on as they scored early and often against Charleroi as the Highlanders roll to a 41-7 win at McGuffey High School. The win combined with Wash High's victory over Stowe Rocks clinched yet another playoff berth for McGuffey, who currently sits 4-0 in conference and 5-2 overall. McGuffey scored in the second offensive play of the game and never looked back as 25 seconds into the game, Malachi Ely took a 37-yard play-action pass from Connor Crow to give the Highlanders the lead. Charles Wagers made it 14-0 with a 1-yard touchdown run. Ely scored his second touchdown of the opening quarter, a 2-yard plunge to make it 21-0 and pretty much turn the lights out for Charleroi. Fullback Dylan Drobage capped a touchdown drive with a 1-yard plunge early in the second quarter, and that was basically about it. Charleroi avoided the shutout with their only score of the second half, a 26-yard touchdown scamper around left end by Gianni Pellegrini in the fourth quarter. Don't look now, but McGuffey is coming on, and they're going to be heard from, I think, before the season's over.
Back over to Tri-County South, Carmichael's. They were at Manesson.
Kudos to the Manesson Greyhounds. They've had a bit of a tough go of it, but they were able to get a win at home as they scored a pair of second-quarter touchdowns and stopped a two-point conversion by Carmichael's with less than 4 minutes remaining in the game to edge the Mighty Mikes. 14-13 in Tri-County South action. The Greyhounds grabbed a 14-0 lead in the second quarter as Ronnie Johnson had a one-yard scoring plunge, and Lorenzo Gardner gave them their second touchdown with a 21-yard touchdown pass from Dennis Hawkins. The scores came less than 2 minutes apart. Carmichael's got back in the game when they blocked a Manesson punt, and Gage Kunley returned 20 yards for a touchdown. Luke Donaldson for the Mikes scored on a 5-yard run with 3:15 to make it 14-13, with 3:15 remaining to make it 14-13. But their potential two-point conversion run was stopped short of the end zone, giving Manesson the win. Manesson 1-3 in conference, 2-5 overall, as they look to finish strong in Tri-County South action.
And Big 7, Thomas Jefferson was at Trinity.
This might have been the upset of the year, as the Trinity Hillers, for the first time in school history, knocked off one of the big bullies in the Big 7 conference, 23-6 at Hiller Field. And the Hillers can forget about those losses to McKeesport and Latrobe because they just beat Thomas Jefferson. What a performance. The Hillers, what can you say? Coach Dan Nouse getting the job done. TJ was undefeated coming in, but not anymore. The win gives Trinity a 2-2 record in the conference and a 4-3 mark overall. This should set them up for a playoff berth going forward. Trinity scored the first 23 points of the game and never looked back as quarterback Jonah Williamson scored two touchdowns, one on a 2-yard run in the first quarter and a 3-yard scamper in the third. The reliable Andrew Durig bolted 20 yards for a touchdown in the second quarter to give Trinity a 14-0 halftime lead. The Hillers made it 23-0 in the fourth quarter when TJ's offensive line was called for a holding in the end zone. TJ was able to avoid a shutout with a Braden White 5-yard touchdown pass from Luke Costco in the fourth quarter. Williamson continues his strong season with 104 yards rushing on 28 attempts. His compadre, Andrew Dorig, added 82 yards on 13 carries. Hats off to Trinity. I don't think anybody saw this game coming. Probably not even some of their more loyal fans, but the Hillers made their biggest win in the past 5 years.
Anything additional you'd like to talk about regarding week number 6 before we start previewing week 7?
I don't think I can speak any more on or add any more color to what Trinity did last week against Thomas Jefferson. They had a horrific loss to Latrobe 2 weeks ago at Latrobe when they had a chance to really put themselves in the inside track to a playoff spot. In the week before that, they had a pretty bad loss to McKeesport. But they made that all go away with maybe the biggest win in program history. Big ups to Manesson. As I said, they've been having a tough year, but anytime you could beat a conference rival at home in the way they did, holding off Carmichael's in the fourth quarter, making a big stop on a two-point conversion. Coach Ed Dalton, say what you will about him, he's definitely a polarizing figure in the local high school football, but the guy does win. I mean, he's doing a heck of a job with this McGuffey team. I've yet to have a chance to see him play, and they're going to get their chance at Wash High here in a couple weeks. That may be the game of the year, I think, for me, taking out the Fort Cherry and Bishop Canavan game. I think that might be the game I might be looking forward to most, just because it's such a backyard brawl. And Peters Township and Kennemack continue to roll. So I think that's how I would have to characterize and wrap up week 6.
Okay, now let's start previewing week number 7. Let's start with non-conference, Upper St. Clair. They are going to be at Kennemack.
Yeah, Kennemack better be paying attention this week. They're playing one of their former conference rivals now. This is 6A Kennemack against 5A Upper St. Clair. The Big Macs, most likely we're looking ahead to this game. Probably took Baldwin not very seriously. As I mentioned, they overcame a slow start to beat Baldwin 30-14. Zach Welsh, a big game, more than 280 yards rushing. Point to make on him, he needs 45 yards. The former Washington Prexy needs 45 yards to surpass 1,000 in the season. I know some people probably may not have thought he could put up the numbers he's put up in Class 5A and Class 6A competition, coming from a AA school like Wash High, but he's made a believer to a lot of people. I had a chance to see him play against Buffalo Park. Zach Welsh is the real deal. I expect him to have another big game, and this would be a real nice feather in the cap for Cannon Mack if they could beat Upper St. Clair, especially with it being a home game. Upper St. Clair coming off a tough 22-10 loss last week to Buffalo Park. Mason Chambers leads the Panthers with 553 yards on the ground and 8 scores. Their last trek to Washington County didn't go so hot. They played Peters Township earlier in the year, and they lost 34-0. I expect them to come in tough, but I think Cannon Mack will get the job done in a close one.
In Black Hills, Cornell, they are going to be at Fort Cherry.
This is another battle for first place in the Black Hills Conference, like it was 2 weeks ago for Fort Cherry when they had to travel to Dormont to take on Bishop Canavan. This one will be at home. They're playing Cornell. Cornell coming in 3-1 in the conference, 6-1 overall. For the second time in 3 weeks, Fort Cherry is involved in a first place showdown in Black Hills Conference play. 2 weeks ago, they had to travel up to Dormont on a Saturday evening to take on Bishop Canavan. This one will be at home. Cornell coming in at 3-1 in conference, 6-1 overall. And as you very well know, Fort Cherry sitting undefeated in both conference and overall play. As I mentioned earlier, this game will be played at the friendly confines of Jim Gary Stadium on the campus of Fort Cherry High School. Fort Cherry will be led by the usual suspects, Matt Sieg, Shane Cornelli, Ethan Folletto, and the rest of the high-powered Rangers will be ready as Cornell comes in with quarterback Chris Jackson, who has completed 56% of his throws for 767 yards and 14 touchdowns. Mike Keyes has 19 catches for 354 yards and 6 scores for the Raiders. And don't sleep on Khalil Johnson. He's averaging 9 yards a carry to the tune of 577 yards rushing on the ground and 3 scores. Cornell was perfect on the season until they lost to the aforementioned Bishop Canavan, 21-13 in Coriopolis. I think Cornell's going to be coming in angry, but I think Fort Cherry might have a little too much for him. I like the Rangers in a close one.
And Tri-County South, West Greene, they are going to be heading to Beth Center.
I don't think we've talked about Beth Center enough. They're coming on at just the right time. They're sitting right now at 3-1 in Tri-County South action, 3-4 overall. West Greene, always tough, sitting at 3-1 in conference and 5-2 overall. Two of the more accomplished ground gainers will collide in Frederickstown Friday evening. Colin Brady will be toting the rock for West Greene, while Ethan Varesco will be toting the rock for Beth Center. West Greene came off a tough loss last week to California. They'll look to rebound. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Brady was held to in check all evening. As I mentioned, 12 yards on 5 carries. A kid that productive, he's looking to be chomping at the bit to get it back at it. He has 1,050 yards rushing on the season. That's good for fourth place in the entire Whippeel, trailing only Carlo Bozzato of Riverview, Elijah Palmer McCrane of Elwood City, and Eric Doru of South Park. Varesco coming off a huge 435-yard rushing game last week against Bentworth. He has 663 yards rushing on the season. Be interesting to see how these two guys collide and see who comes out on top.
And in non-conference, Peters Township, they are going to be at Mount Lebanon, and that's your three-point stance game of the week, correct?
I'll be traveling north on Route 19 to Mount Lebanon, one of my favorite places to cover a game, as Peters Township will look to keep their record unblemished. This one's non-conference. This will not hurt them or help them in playoff seeding, but it will be for bragging rights as they play yet another former conference foe. Mount Lebanon coming in at 1-2 in conference, 4-3 overall. As Peters Township last week, they got out to a slow start against Moon. They better not do it this week because Mount Lebanon, they're tough at home. Nolan DeLuccia, the quarterback for Peters Township, continues his strong season as he's completed 61% of his passes for 1,143 yards passing and 14 scores. Carter Schanefelt, big game last week, snagging 3 touchdown passes will continue his strong season at receiver. Quarterback Cole Chatfield from Mount Lebanon. He's got a tough, tough task. He's going to be quarterbacking an offense that's going to have to try and solve a defense. And Peters, that's only allowed 27 points on the season in 7 games. That is less than 4 points a game, which is pretty good. Give it up for Peters Township and their defense. As I mentioned before, I've seen them play 3 times already. I expect them to roll in this one and keep their perfect season intact. Some other games we'll take a quick look at here. Trinity will look to get their 5th win in the season. They travel to Laurel Highlands, like Trinity in that one. We have McGuffey at Keystone Oaks up in Dormont. Washington, Wash High at Charleroi. Manesson at Jefferson Morgan, and Mapletown will get back on the winning track at Bentworth. Tune in next week as we review Week 7 action and preview Week 8 as we head down the stretch of another Whipple football season. This is the 3 Point Stance Podcast.